Welcome to the Victory Orlando podcast. We exist to reach people with the life-giving message of Jesus and to connect them with their purpose. To learn more about us, visit us at victoryorlando.com. Thanks for listening. We pray that you are encouraged and inspired by today's message.
It's good to see you guys. You guys doing good?
Yeah.
You feeling good?
Yeah.
Are you up?
Yeah.
All right, that's good. You know, the 11 o'clock service, you guys are always so awake and alive. I was listening to Pastor Chris's message last week on the online. We have it on the website. And I loved the message that he preached last week on making the decision of being generous. And he's been preaching a great message the whole last 4 or 5 weeks on the ABCs of finance and how God wants to bless you and so many different things. And I loved how Pastor Chris made a good point last week. And I could just hear the cheers and the shout outs. And I was watching it with some people in my office back in Tulsa. And they were like, wow, those people are excited. I said, yeah, that's the 11 a.m. service. They'll shout you down. 9 a.m. is just waking up, wiping the sleep from their eyes. You know, they're just like, you know, checking it off their list. But you guys, I mean, you guys are the ones. You got some energy. You got some life in you. So if you normally come to the 9:30 service, I just encourage you, come to 11 because they're awake and alive, alert, enthusiastic. And I just want to honor Pastor Chris and Heather. Do an amazing job here in leading the church on a regular basis. Can we give it up for them? Great job, Pastor Chris. In fact, I told him yesterday, we were talking, when I arrived here, we were talking on the phone, and I told him, I said, as I was listening to your message this week in my office in Tulsa at our home church, one of the girls that works with us walked in. She said, wow, who is that preaching? I said, oh, that's Pastor Chris in Orlando. She said, wow, I really like him. I said, Pastor Chris, you're doing a great job. People that don't even know you like you. So as a pastor, that's good. Because it may seem easy getting up here in front of you every week, but it's not easy. I mean, he has to put up with you on a regular basis. And so it's not easy. And no matter what the size of the crowd is or who is there, it's always, a little bit of a test. It's always a little bit of a trial and error. And I told Pastor Chris after the first service, I said, I'm glad I got the 9:30 out of the way because I tested out a few things on them that I'm going to change for the 11 o'clock. So the best is yet to come. And I want to honor all of those that serve on the Dream Team here on a regular basis, our worship team, our production team, kids team. Come on, let's give it up for all those that serve on a regular basis. We love you guys. You're doing an awesome job. You know, the church is not just about a service that we have, but it's the body of Christ. It's the family of God coming together and reaching out all across our city and around the world. And that's what I love about being a part of this church, is just being a part of a place that cares more about others than we do ourselves. Sometimes you don't say amen when people say that, but that's okay. You came in, Pastor, what's here for me? Well, you know, you're going to be blessed, but you know what? It's actually better to give than it is to receive. And there's a blessing. And during this holiday season, I'm so encouraged to be a part of a church. As I walked through the lobby, I saw the gifts that we're receiving to bless some children that are in need as the Hope Truck goes out this month, helping people. And you know what? That's what it's really all about. And don't get caught up just in the commercialization of the season, that you forget that it was all about God's gift to us and that he wants us to be that example of being generous and helping other people. And so on this Legacy Sunday, I'm encouraged. What is Legacy Sunday? Well, Legacy Sunday is about us coming together, and it's about us thinking about what could we do to make this world better and different through our generosity, through our acts of kindness, through our giving. How could we, as a local church, leave a legacy for our children, for this community, for those that are hurting and lost and broken? And that's why this church exists. And so we come together about twice a year. We do the legacy offering once a year at the end of the year like this. And we talk about what if we were to give over and above what we normally give to help the church extend its reach. You know, it takes resources to reach people. You may think that this just all happens for free, but it doesn't. You know, it takes somebody putting things together, somebody buying things and organizing things. But you know what? On the other side of our generosity of giving some resource is a life that's changed, is a person that's rescued, is a person who hears about Christ. And you know what? I believe that as we head into 2018 that God has more in store. So he wants to strengthen our foundation so that we can further our reach. That's what this Legacy Sunday is all about. And so I want to share that up front with you, that at the end of the service today, we've been talking about it. Pastor Chris sent an email and letter out about it. But we're believing God this month to raise resources over and above what we normally receive so that as we head into 2018, we can do more. Three people said amen, all right? Amen. You say, Pastor, why do we want to do more? Because there are more people that need to be reached. And as long as God loves people, then we should do whatever we can to reach them. I just got back from a trip to Brazil, meeting with several pastors last week at a conference that we were doing there. And, you know, I'm encouraged at what God is doing all around the world. But here's the reality. God doesn't move unless it's through people. He could have done it. He could have just said, you know what, I'm just going to create you. You have to follow me. But he gave us a choice. And then Jesus commissioned his followers and he said, go everywhere and tell everyone. God wants to use people. He uses men and women today. And he uses what's been entrusted to us. And so on this Legacy Sunday, I want to encourage you guys from the scriptures today and help you to see that your life is bigger than what you see right now. That God wants to do things in you and things through you in 2018 that he's not done before. Four people believe that. Come on. I was just talking to our sound man in between the services, Gary in the back, and he came up to me after the first service. He was so excited. He said, man, in 6 months, I don't have the story yet, but in 6 months, I'm going to have a fantastic testimony. Come on. That's faith. I love it. I love hearing stories like that. He said, man, I'm believing God for this and this and this. And you know what? I'm believing in 2018, you're going to have that faith and expectation by the middle of the year. You're going to say, Pastor, I was believing for this much by the end of the year, and look at what God has done. I was believing to reach my neighbors, and the entire neighborhood has come to Christ. I was believing to help some people that were, you know, hurting and destitute, and you know what? I've been able to do it. Come on, that's what it's all about. It's about making a difference. So, let me stir up your faith. Just lift your hands up like this. Say, Lord, you can use me. Come on, do you believe that? Yes. All right. I want to read you a passage of scripture here. Matthew chapter 5 in the Message translation. Starting in verse 14. I'm going to go old school on you today. My iPad went out of power after the first service, so I have to go to my written notes today. Come on, how many of you know that's old school? But as someone who prepares, I always have three methods of preaching the same sermon. I have an iPad, iPhone, and the old school written notes. And so no matter what, the devil can't win. And if it all goes to pot, I still memorize it. So it all works. So just a little side note on preacher's life. Okay, Matthew chapter 5, verse 14 through 16. Let me read it this way. It says, here's another way to put it. You're here to be a light, to bring out the God colors in the world. God is not a secret to be kept. We're going public with this, as public as a city on a hill. If I make you light bearers, you don't think that I'm going to hide it under a bucket, do you? No, I am putting it on a lampstand. Now that I've put you there on a hilltop, on a light stand, shine. Keep open house. Everybody say open. Be generous with your lives by opening up to others. You'll prompt people to open up to God, this generous Father who is in heaven. The word for us today is living with open hands. Living with open hands. We just finished a series at our home church in Oklahoma the entire month of November on living with open hands. You know, as I was listening to the messages and studying the scriptures, I realized that this is the way that God has called each of us to live. That God doesn't want you to live with your fists closed. He doesn't want you to live holding things close to your chest. He wants you to live with open hands. You know, during this holiday season, how many of you love receiving gifts? Come on, be honest. This is not a test of your pride. Just lift your hand if you love receiving gifts, right? Hopefully all of us love receiving gifts. And one of the things that needs to happen if you're to receive a gift is you need to lift out your hands to receive that gift. If I were here and I say, you know what, I have $1,000 I want to hand you right now, you probably wouldn't go like this. No, Pastor, I don't want that. You'd be like, hey, hey, hey. Some of you are like ready to jump up here right now. Sorry, I gave my money away last night. I don't have any more left for you, all right? I'll tell you that story in a little on later in the service. And so you have to open up your hands in order to receive a gift. In the same way you open your hands to receive a gift, if you were to give a gift, you want to give it with open hands. You're not going to bless somebody and be like, okay, I have something for you. There. You're going to live that way? As a parent, you're going to live that way with your children? Hey, I really want to bless you. This is how I'm going to do it. No. Hey, I want to bless. Man, you're awesome. You're my favorite child. You tell them all that, right? You are my favorite because they are. And if you want to bless someone, you bless them with open hands. Did you know this is a picture of how God lives towards us? For God so loved the world that he gave. He gave his first and his best. He gave his son to the world so that we wouldn't perish and have an eternity separated from him. But he gave Jesus so that the bridge could be built from us to God so that we could have an eternity with him one day in heaven. But also we could have a good life here on the earth. Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and life to the fullest, or life more abundantly. How many of you are grateful for the abundant life? Come on, let's live with open hands. Just look at somebody next to you because I can't tell by your face and tell them I'm going to live with open hands. You know, we see this all throughout Scripture. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 10 in verse 8, freely you have received. Did it cost you anything? No. Freely you have received. Now freely give. The giving cost you, but the receiving didn't cost you anything. The giving cost you because you need to make a decision. So Jesus was encouraging his followers. He said, look, freely you received from me. But now in the same way, freely you need to give. The giving may cost you something, but what you received was free anyways. So why don't you just give? What you've been entrusted with is God's anyways. Well, what you've been enabled to do is the ability God has given you. So why don't you just give it away? The love that God put on the inside of your heart, you're going to hold it to yourself? No, why don't you just give that love away? That encouragement that God gives you, that you get strengthened with his word, why don't you just go give some encouragement? You know, it may feel like it cost you time, but you know what? On the other side of that, you're going to receive something you couldn't get any other way. This is living with open hands. This is how God has called each of us to live. As you read through Scripture, you see it time and time again. Now, the question comes up when you talk about living with open hands, whether it's in regards to our resources, the money that we have, or the talent that we've been given, the abilities that we have, or the time that we have. Sometimes we think, for some reason, that the time, that the ability or the talent or the resource, the treasure that we have, somehow we get lost in the process. We think all of those things are ours. We think it's my resource, it's my ability, and it's my time. I choose whatever I want to do with it. But here's the reality. God entrusted you with those things. God gave you the ability to have that intellect and to do that job. God gave you the resource that you have. So why don't we take what he's entrusted to us and we use it to help someone else? Turn to somebody next to you and say, I think he's talking to you. So why is this important? Here's the reality, why it's important. Realize this today. There's always someone on the other side of your obedience. There's always someone on the other side of your obedience. Sometimes you see them, sometimes you don't. But the reality is there's always someone on the other side. There's a story in the Bible in Mark chapter 4. Jesus with his disciples, and they're gathered together. They saw some great things, and Jesus gathers them up, and he says, hey, guys, let us cross over to the other side. Now, the disciples didn't know what was on the other side, but they got in the boat with Jesus. We know the rest of the story, how they encountered a storm in the middle of the lake. They made it across through the storm to the other side, and here's why they went across to the other side, because there was someone waiting. There was a man who was demon-possessed, who was not in his right mind, and he needed help. And the Bible says in Mark chapter 5 and verse 1 that when they made it to the other side, that this man came running to Jesus, and that Jesus spoke peace over him. He spoke soundness over his mind. He cast the devil out of his life, and immediately his life was transformed. And the man wanted to come and follow Jesus and go with him everywhere that he was going. And Jesus said, no, it's better for you to go back where you came from and tell the people what God has done for you. And this is the fun part of the story. They went all the way across the lake through the storm, 12 disciples and Jesus, to reach one man. Because the story says after that they got back in the boat and they went somewhere else. Do you mean that the Son of God would travel across a lake through a storm for one person? That's exactly what it means. Because on the other side of our obedience is always someone. It may not be 5 or 50 or 50,000, but there's always someone. And the story tells us that that someone went back to his region of Decapolis and he began sharing what God has done and how Jesus had transformed him. And the Bible says an entire region heard about Christ. There was a strategy of heaven for those disciples and Jesus that day to make it to the other side, to reach one so that an entire region could be reached. Friends, I want to encourage you. Here's the why. Why is it so important for us to live with open hands? Because there's always someone on the other side. There's someone on the other side of your obedience. And it's not as difficult as you may think. It's not as challenging as it may seem in your mind. It's not as profound as you may be expecting. Okay, God, lightning from heaven, show me the one. It could be as simple as being aware of the needs of the people around you. It could be a neighbor who's going through a difficult time. It could be the cashier at the Publix who is going through a challenging time, and just ask them how their day is. And instead of you just having pity for them when they say, man, it's terrible, my wife just left me, my kids are crazy, I have no money, I'm here at Publix, whatever the story is that they tell you in 30 seconds, instead of you just saying, oh, that's too bad. What if you in those 30 seconds said, hey, can I encourage you? Can I pray for you? Can I invite you to my church? Whatever it is, can I bless you? What if in that moment that you're made aware of the needs of people, that you did something about it and reached one so that in return, that one, their life could be transformed. Let me tell you a personal story of something that happened to me just yesterday. As I arrived to the airport, I was in line to get a rental car. And as I was there, this lady and her husband and her two kids, the lady was going crazy. Come on, how many of you know that when a lady is going crazy, you better watch out? Come on, if mama ain't happy, no one is happy, right? You know what I'm talking about? So this lady, I don't know what had gone wrong, but the flights had been canceled. She's trying to get a rental car. She's blaming her husband. Come on, husband, why do we get blamed for everything? She's blaming her husband. He's trying to help. And she's like, no, you just go over there. I mean, it's one thing to fight in private, but in public, that's just bad. You know what I'm talking about? It's like, I don't know what to do. I could tell the guy was getting, you know, embarrassed and ashamed and upset and all at the same time. And this lady's going crazy. She's crying. She's yelling, everything. And so right in the middle of that, she stops everything. She's like, I'm calling my mother. Now, that does not solve the problem. I don't know what it is with women and calling their mothers. But that does not solve, I mean, that just makes it worth, because then Aunt Helen and Susan and everybody knows your business. So she calls her mother, and I'm just waiting to rent my car. I'm trying to escape, honestly. I'm just there, and I'm just like, can I just go hide? Can I get in a corner? I mean, it was so bad, everybody just wanted to leave. This lady was going crazy. And so right in the midst of that, I finally get my car. She's on the phone with her mother, and she's blaming everybody. She's blaming the airline and the rental car company and Mickey Mouse. And, you know, it's the happiest place on earth when people come, but it's the worst place when they have to leave. Nothing goes right. And so this lady, you know, she's going hysterical. And then I get my reservation. I'm going out to pick up my car out in the parking lot. And as I go outside, now this lady is outside and she's just standing out there with her two kids. And now she's just crying hysterically. And I could tell something was wrong with her. And so as I was walking by trying to escape the misery that was her life, I felt like the Spirit of God spoke to me and said, well, what are you going to do? I don't know, what can I do? I mean, she can't rent a car. She's stranded here for a day. She's got these two kids, and she's crazy. What do you want me to do? And so I felt like the Lord said, just go talk to her. So I walked over there and said, hey, ma'am, I overheard a little bit of your situation, everything. And I said, I don't know, you know, what's going on, but I just want to encourage you that, you know, God loves you, has a plan for your life. And I reached in my pocket, I grabbed $100 and I gave it to her. And I said, hey, I don't know your whole situation, but I just hope that if you're stranded here, go get a hotel, go buy yourself something to eat, whatever you need. I just felt like I'm supposed to bless you. And right in the midst of that, the lady, you know, she stops crying at first and she's like, what? well, why would you do that? And I said, I don't know. I'm just walking by. I heard your situation. I felt like God wanted me to encourage you that he loves you. He has a plan for your life. And whatever the situation is right now is temporary. It'll be okay. And it was like her whole countenance began to change. And at first she was kind of holding back. She was like, no, it's okay. We don't need your money. And I said, ma'am, I promise. I just want to give it to you. I just want to bless you. You're stranded here. You got these two kids. Your husband, Lord, he needs help. And he has to put up with you. And so I didn't say that. I'm thinking it in my head. I'm a person just like you. And so I said, hey, here, I just want to bless you. All right. And I just walked off. And I don't know the situation, but, you know, as I was walking away, I didn't think, oh, man, I could have bought something with that. I didn't think, oh, man, I wish I would have came 5 minutes earlier so I wouldn't have had to deal with that crazy lady. You know, as I walked away, I began to thank the Lord. I said, God, thank you for allowing me to be in that situation. Thank you for allowing me to be used as your hands and your feet in that moment to help someone else. Now, I don't know what it's like for you, but I can promise you there's probably some opportunities on a regular basis. And I only share that story with you, not to say how great it is that I did that, but I share that personal story that just happened to me yesterday because I want you to become aware that when you live with open hands, God will cause you to see things and people's situations and stories. And he doesn't just cause you to be aware so you can feel sorry for them. He causes you to be aware so you can do something to help them. You say, well, how come, you know, this is going on and I get frustrated by this? Well, maybe it's because God wants you to do something about it. Maybe God has positioned you to make a difference. And you have been so critical of situations and people and others, and you're missing the opportunity to be a blessing. And God says, look, we're called to live with open hands. Look at somebody next to you and say, open. So we live open lives. I'm going to give you three challenges before we finish up today and helping us in this process of living with an open-handed mentality. Number one, first thing that I want to challenge you to do is to realize that God is your source. If we're going to live with open hands, we need to remember who our source is. And did you know that the government is not your source? The company that signs your check is not your source. Your education is not your source. Your intellect or strength is not your source. God is your source. And we can trust God as our source. Some of you are like, no, God's not my source. Well, let me just encourage you. He is. No, I've gained all this on my own. Well, no, you haven't. All right. The Bible says the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26, you were created in the image of God. God entrusted you. He made you in his image. He's entrusted you with opportunities and resources and intellect and people and situations. And so what we have is from God, so we can trust God as our source. So, you know, it's easier to live life with open hands when you understand that God is your source. I realize I'm probably going to get another $100 sometime, right? But God is my source. I can give away what I have in that moment, and God will bless me with some more because I've seen it work time and time again. And I know sometimes in church, you know, and you mention giving or money, and sometimes people get close-handed, and that's not what I'm talking about at all. I hope you hear my heart. I'm helping you to understand the way God enables us to live a life with open hands, so that we can make a difference. Because there's some neighborhoods that need to be transformed. There's some children that need to be reached. There's some families that need to be restored. There are people that are hurting and broken. And you know what? God uses us to reach them. So we live with open hands. But number one, we have to trust God as our source. Proverbs chapter 3 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he'll direct your paths. Maybe you've been in a place where you've been lacking direction in your life, direction for your family, direction for your business. And you say, man, I just can't figure it out. Well, the scriptures makes it very plain. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. That means God is not just on your priority list. He's first. Come on. Only about five people. Amen. I said, God is not just on your priority list, guys. He's first. And when God is first on your priority list, everything else works out. When God is in the right place in your life, then he works out the other areas of your life. Some of you have had more month than you have money, and you're wondering, well, when is this going to change? When you put God first. Some of you have more pain than you have healing, and you say, when is this going to change? When you trust God first. Some of you are so frustrated in relationships week after week, wondering, when is that person going to change? And I want to tell you this, it will change when God changes you, but you will change when you put God first. All right? And so we have to understand that priority in life is so important. That when we prioritize the right things, which is God first and everything else, then He works out everything else in our lives. Trust in the Lord with all our heart. Lean not unto our own understanding. In all, everybody say all. Now, when you look up this word all, I love to point it out, in every language on the earth, you know what all means? All. In Spanish, todo. All right? So, entiende en español, todo. All right? Todo es posible con Dios. Todo. Todos. Cada día, todos. Sí. Entienden español solo. Amen. You didn't know I could speak Spanish. Entienden español. Mucho. Necesito aprender mucho español. Pero un día es posible con Dios. All right, that's for my Spanish-speaking folks here today. But when you think about the way that God has called us to live, He wants us to trust Him, to trust Him at all times. Let me tell you a personal story. When we were getting ready to launch the church back in September 2014, a little over 3 years ago, we were 6 weeks from launching the church. So this is the middle of July 2014, and we were gathering the people and the resources and the equipment. How many of you know that, you know, the screens don't just show up automatically? There's no, like, church warehouse you pull up to, and they're like, okay, here's all the equipment to start a church. It costs money, and it takes people, and it takes buying stages and all this stuff. And so 6 weeks before we were to launch the church, we still needed about $60,000. And I wrote down all that we had and all that we needed, and what we needed was more than what we had. You ever felt like that? Come on, you're like, that's my life. Okay. And I was feeling a little fearful and worried about it and trying to figure it out on my own. And then I just felt like the Lord says, do you trust me? Yeah, I trust you. And I felt like God was just asking me a few questions. Did you come to Orlando for yourself? No. Did I lead you here? Yes. Well, don't you think I'm going to come through? Well, I'm not sure, God. Maybe you're not going to come through. No. God always comes through. And I just felt like He said, will you just trust me? Watch what I'll do over the next 6 weeks. And you know what? As I just begin to rest in the faithfulness of God and begin to trust Him and wake up in the morning and make my confessions and pray and do what I need to do in the natural, make the calls I need to make and talk to the people I needed to talk to. It was amazing how that as I did my part, God did His part. And over the next 6 weeks, we saw all that plus more come in so that we could launch the church. And it was a miracle in 6 weeks. And here's what I learned, that God could do more in 6 weeks than I could do in 6 months. I spent 6 months trying to do something, and God says, look, let me surprise you. Over the next 6 weeks, you're going to have all that you need plus some. We needed a trailer and a truck. We needed this and that. We needed a stage. We needed a sound. We needed kids' equipment, all that stuff. And you know what? God says, do you trust me? And I want to encourage someone here. Maybe you just need to hear that word today. You can trust God. You can take what He says to the bank. You can rest on that. You can stand on that. It can be your foundation. If you've been hurt in the past, or you've been offended about things in the past, or this person did this, or this person said this, or this church acted this way, let me just encourage you with this. You can trust God. Four people believe that you can trust God. I said, you can trust God. God won't let you down. People will let you down. Circumstances will change, but you can trust God. So let me challenge you. If you live with open hands, one thing you need to do is you need to trust God as your source. Number two, the second challenge I give you today is understand that you were blessed to be a blessing. You are blessed to be a blessing. That God entrusts you with something so that you can help someone. God doesn't want you just to have a better life. He wants you to help people to have a better life. And in return, your life is better. God wants you to be a blessing. And here's what you need to remember, that God always wants to know if something can go through you, then He'll get something to you. But we're always concerned, God, could you get it to me? God, could you bless? God, could you do that? God says, look, will you help someone? All right, I'm going to bless you. Will you reach out to that person? Give up your time? Will you volunteer and help with set up or tear down? Will you serve in the kids ministry? Will you help in the parking lot? Will you give that resource? Will you go on that missions trip? Well, that's going to cost me some time. That's going to cost me this or that. Well, if God can get it through you, then he'll get it to you. Do you know over the last 17 years, I've taken thousands of people on missions trips, thousands of people in over 57 different countries. I just added it up because I forgot. I just added it up for my 40th birthday. I wanted to see what has God done in the last 40 years. And I looked back over the last 25 years and I said, wow, God, you've done a lot of stuff. And I didn't even know that any of that was possible as a 17-year-old who was all screwed up and had a lot of challenges. And God says, well, I just want to know, can I trust you? And will you continue to help people? And, you know, every single week, if I'm somewhere, I'm preaching somewhere or sharing, that's my desire. I always desire, God, will you just use me to help someone else? I'm not thinking about my situation or circumstance. I'm usually thinking about, God, how can you use me to help someone else? And you know what? Over the course of the last 23 years or 25 years, I've seen my life change. I've seen God do so much more in my life, but the focus is on other people. And I thought, God, how does that work? And it's really the principle that if God can get something through you, then God will get more to you. Because we're blessed to be a blessing. God wants to use you to help reach someone. Do you know, I want to share a testimony with you. Some of you maybe have seen the video that we showed a couple weeks ago of the transition home that we were able to be a part of. Victor Orlando partnered with a church in Atlanta, and there's some pictures of it here on the screen with our church in Tulsa. And so we partnered together, giving some resources and time, taking a team. And it was amazing to see these children and those that were blessed during this time. But a year ago, that transition home was not even a reality at all. In fact, the land wasn't even purchased. There was no money for the buildings or any of those things. Right here is one of the three homes and these girls that will live there in this home. And I was thinking about how that a year ago we were there on a missions trip. We were working in some other areas and we went to this area where the missionary said we're believing God for land in this area so that we can have a transition home for children that have been abused and abandoned and trafficked, and that they'll have a place, a transitional place for 6 months where they can get restored and they can get healed and they can learn about God. And then from there, they'll go to our permanent place where we have our children's homes, and there's 30 acres and about 14 buildings there on that land. They'll go there, but we need this transitional place. And so the missionary said, would you believe God with us that we can get this land? And, you know, I'm a good person. So I said, sure, I'll believe with you that you can get the land. You know, I thought, I don't have any money. I just spent all the money I had to be here and to help you with that other building. I don't have any more. And so I'm standing there and we're praying. And as we're praying, I finished praying there on this land. And then I felt like the Spirit of God says, okay, now what are you going to do? And I thought to myself, well, I'm going to get back in my van and I'm going to go home. That was my first response. But as I was walking back to the van, I felt like the Spirit of God says, it's your choice. I'm going to help the people, but I could allow you to be a part of the process. What are you going to do? So I turned around to the missionary lady. I said, you know what? We're going to believe God with you. Not just that you get the resource, but we're going to believe God that if he would get us the resource, we're going to help you. And so I got back in the van. And right when I got in the van, I just sent a text message to one of my friends who lives back in Oklahoma. And I said, man, we got a great opportunity here to help some kids. And I know we've done a lot in the past, but we have this opportunity to buy this land and help these people, and just wanted you to know. He texted me back right away. He said, well, how much is the land? I said, it's about $80,000, $78,000, something like that. I texted him, I thought, wow, I don't know. And then he texted me back. He said, okay. And it was just an okay. And I thought, okay, like, thanks for the information. Okay, like, someday I'll help you with it. Okay, what? I said, okay, what? And they replied back, okay, I'll get you the $78,000. Is it okay if I get it by the end of the month? Yeah. I was like, what? Yes, that's great. We'll be able to help some kids. And afterwards, now the land was purchased and the buildings were built, and, you know, it was amazing. But here's the reality. Don't get caught up on the figures. Listen to the story here. Here's the reality. God did a miracle in 15 minutes I couldn't have done in 15 years. 15 minutes. But I thought about this. What if I wouldn't have listened? What if as I was walking to the van, I just thought, well, my bank account has this much money. It's not possible. I think so many times we look at the natural side instead of the supernatural side. God wants to use you in supernatural ways, but it's going to take your natural obedience to unlock supernatural results. But you have to have an understanding. I've been blessed to be a blessing. When you live this way, it's amazing how God will use you in different ways. At your job, He'll use you at your school. He'll use you in your family, in your neighborhood, in your business. We've been blessed to be a blessing. And here's the reality. Number three, the third challenge is this. Why it's so important to live with open hands. It's because we need to keep an eternal perspective. The eternal perspective is this. As I was there dedicating these homes just a couple weeks ago, the eternal perspective is that there's going to be some kids who've been abandoned and abused on the border town whose parents have grown up in Buddhist cultures, godless society, who are now going to find a relationship with Jesus. Keep an eternal perspective, because now some children are going to enter into heaven all because of our obedience. And I share that with you because each of us have opportunities on a regular basis to keep an eternal perspective. My wife sent me a text message last night, and it was one of the greatest messages that I've received in a while. It was more than just, I love you, which is a great text message, by the way. If you're married, go ahead, send that to your spouse. It's encouraging. But she sent me a text message. She said, you know, last night I was on the plane and I was flying here. She said, we had a service last night at church in Tulsa, and our church was doing a big production, a story of Christmas. She said, I invited our neighbors this week and they decided to come last night. And they came to the service last night. It's a new family. They just moved into town and they haven't been going to church, haven't been following God, but they sat all through the story of Christmas. And she texted me and she said, and every single one of them, all five family members, responded to the call of salvation and received Christ. Come on, that's awesome. Why is that important? Because we want to keep an eternal perspective. What if my son, who actually was instrumental, what if he didn't mention his friend who he goes to school with, who lives in our neighborhood, to my wife, who then invited the woman, who then invited the husband and the kids, who then came to the service last night? What if he would have not even mentioned his friend that he lived in the neighborhood? We may not know. But you know what? God uses each part. Your part is just as important as someone else's part, just as significant as the person next to you. God uses each of us, but we need to keep an eternal perspective. And I share those personal stories with you just to help you to understand that God can use you in amazing ways. Many of you have seen the Hope Truck. How many of you heard about the Hope Truck that we have that goes out different places? It's awesome. Let me tell you a little story. Maybe some of you have heard, but others of you may not know. The story behind the Hope Truck is a few years ago when we were having an offering similar to this legacy offering that we're doing today, we shared the vision for the Hope Truck, a hope on wheels. We want to have a truck and the side pops down and we go into neighborhoods and bless children. It was just an idea that God dropped into our hearts that we took a step of faith and shared the vision with our church here. And you know what? After one of the services when we shared, just like this, I was walking in the hallway just right over here, and a widow whose husband had passed away just a few months before, who I had visited in the hospital when he was sick, right before he passed away, and she was faithful here in the church. She walked up to me and she said, you know, my husband's no longer here, but I think this Hope Truck idea, he would love it. And I think if he was alive, he would be so excited to help reach boys and girls and families here in our city in a unique and a different way. She reached into her purse and she handed me a check for $8,000. It was exactly what we needed left over to purchase the Hope Truck. Come on, that's a miracle. I share that with you because it's not about a truck. It's about the families that we can reach. It's not about the money or the check. It's about the children that are going to learn about Jesus, who sit in a little circle and play games and then have a chance to respond and find Christ. This is what it's all about. It's about keeping an eternal perspective. So I want to challenge you, look for the opportunities that God may put across your path. Look for the things that God may place right in front of you. Say, God, are you calling me to help that person? I mean, I feel bad for their situation, but I don't know, what can I do? And God may say, no, I placed you there to be a person of influence in their life. I've placed you there so you can help them. I told you about this so that you can be part of that solution. It's easy to recognize a problem, but it's something else to be part of the solution. And you know what? God has positioned us here in this earth to be part of his solution in reaching people for him. You receive that word today? Come on, you receive it? Are we going to live like this? No, we're going to live like this every single time, because there's always someone on the other side. Would you bow your heads, close your eyes with me today as we get ready to pray?